It's hard to describe how deep the grief is and what an unbelievable hole that I feel. In the area of Avelus, of mourning, there are two areas. One is the area of Bechi, of crying, for the person that has passed away and expressing one's grief. And the other is hesped, which we translate as eulogy. But the Meshech Chachma in Zos HaBracha explains that hesped means the articulating of the impact of the person, the explaining of what this person's life meant to the world. And right now, and especially the early Talmidim, all we're capable of is bechi. All we're capable of is crying. You know, this morning, every year when I'd come in for whether it was meetings or bringing missions to Eretz Yisrael, the first thing would be going to the Kaisel. And then after going to the Kaisel, come rushing in, and usually came in early enough where the gate to the Rosh Yeshiva's office was locked. And there would be the excitement that Emetz Hashem, the gates will be unlocked, and I'll go rushing up to the office and get that hug and ask Shilas and brainstorm, whether it was about Toronto, whether it was about personal issues. And this morning I came in and the gate's locked. And this time it's not going to open up for me to be able to run up and get the hug and to ask Shilas. You know, on Thursday, we were davening Shacharis at the shul, and one of the mespalim came in to tell me the news. And I just went numb. And when I came home, the pain, the tsar, of being in Toronto and not being able to do the last act of chesed, of going with the Rosh Yeshiva to Har HaMenuchos, was indescribably painful. But thankfully, my two boys who are in Kailul here in Yerushalayim, they called me up and they said, Abba, we're your shliach. And we helped carry his holy guf, his holy body to Har HaMenuchos. And it gave me some comfort. But I committed on Thursday, I committed to the Rosh Yeshiva to get on the plane, to go to his home. As the Gemara in Shabbos says to us, that when we go to the home of the Nifter, not only are we fulfilling the mitzvah of Nicham Avelim, of comforting the mourners, but we also show kavod to the mace, we show kavod. And I committed to come and show my honor and my love to my beloved Rebbe, my beloved Rosh Yeshiva. I thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for allowing that to happen. And I went back to the same dira, to the same address where I met him 30 years ago on a Motzi Shabbos, which began a 30-year relationship where from that moment on he opened up gates, he opened up a universe, he opened up a galaxy to me of what relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all about. What it means, Klal Yisrael, and to take achrayus and responsibility for Klal Yisrael. And I was also thinking back 30 years ago, when I first came into the Eish HaTaira, a dilapidated building with 40 Talmidim, incredible Talmidim, but 40 Talmidim. And chances are, he would tell us, and I'm sure in your schmoozing here in the base medrash, how he failed seven times. Failed seven times and has a dilapidated building with 40 Talmidim. And what people used to say about him, how they used to scoff at him. And it reminds me of the psukim by Yosef and his brothers, where when Yosef is coming, the brothers sarcastically say, "Hine bal hachalomus halazeh ba." There goes the dreamer. Here comes the dreamer. And the next pasuk says, "V'nireh mayir chalomosav," and we'll see what will be with his dreams. And Rashi proves that that's not the brothers talking, it's HaKadosh Baruch who's talking. You're sarcastic about Yosef's dream? We'll see. Who's sarcastic now about the Rosh Yeshiva's dreams? The scoffers, they've disappeared. Rav Moshe Scherer used to say, the great Rav Moshe Scherer, the great activist, the great head of Agudas Yisrael used to say, the word dream is chalom, ches lamed mem, the same word that spells lechem, and the same word that spells lochem, to do battle. And he used to say that if a person relates to his dreams like it's his bread, it's his very survival, then he will battle for it until it happens. To the Rosh Yeshiva, Klal Yisrael was like bread. Klal, his whole survival, his whole being, his whole life was Klal Yisrael. And because of that, nothing was going to deter him. Not seven failures and not the scoffers. And nothing was going to deter him. He was the Baal HaChalomos par excellence. But what made him keep going? What was it? And we're going to have to think it through and keep thinking about it. But two things come to my mind. I have had the merit all my life to be in the shadow of great people, which I'm so thankful for. My early years growing up in New York in the Radzina Shtibel, the great Radzina Rebbe, Rabbi Yeruchim Leiner Zatzal, Rashi Yeshivas used to come to him to learn Zohar. And my father, Yibadel L'chaim al Zayin Gesund, an incredible Talmud Chacham, a close Talmud of Rav Huttner. Rav Huttner's Torah went into me by osmosis even before I myself became a Talmud of Rav Huttner Zatzal. And his Rav Aaron Shechter Shlita, Rabbi Yonis David, I've always had, but nobody had the impact on me in terms of understanding what Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid. The Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal dripped with Yiras Shemayim. The Almighty was as real as my touching this shtender is to me right now. He walked with the Almighty, and therefore, what do you mean I failed? I just have to figure out the message. It's going to happen. And the other thing that immediately comes to mind, he was the quintessential Eved Hashem. Sir, the Almighty, what does the Almighty want? What does he want from us? What does he want from me? He was a kli for Ratzon Hashem. He was a utensil to do the Almighty's will. And I think it has to do because he was such an unbelievable anav. He was so unbelievably humble. Can give you, you know this, we can give hundreds of examples. To me, one of the unbelievable examples is a couple of years ago, I went to pick him up to take him to a chasana. I flew into New York. The Rashiva was going to be at, I had the privilege to pick him up. And I heard, you know, now he has an apartment. And you figure by this time, he's in his early 70s. So it must be a proper apartment. I mean, the budget of tens of millions of dollars. I picked up the Rosh Yeshiva from his basement apartment. Because that's all you need. You don't spend any extra of the yeshiva's money. He was a kli for Ratzon Hashem. I believe that the Rosh Yeshiva would want for us to say, obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has taken me at the right time. And if that's the case, it's because people are going to step up to what he taught us. That people are going to step up to integrate that much more, this bloodless Holocaust that we're in. To integrate Tzelem Elokim means each of us can change the world. To integrate the power of Taras Chaim. To integrate Tzadik Be'emunaso Yichya, that the Almighty is, that we have to wear our amunah on our sleeve and walk with the Almighty. And that if we integrate these four pillars, we will continue his chalom, we will continue his dream. And I believe this is what we have to do at this time period. This is the opportunity that amidst the tears, that we all commit to what he was always telling us, that this time now we're going to let it sink into us that much more deeply. Rosh Yeshiva, I thank you for introducing me to a new universe and a new galaxy of what relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. I thank you for opening me up to a new galaxy of how to look at Torah and relate to Torah. I thank you for helping me understand what Simcha is about. What Tzelem Elokim is about. I thank you for introducing me to what Avas Yisrael is about. And I thank you for the personal Ava that you showed me all these years. And I thank you for allowing me to and giving me the privilege to work for Klal Yisrael. You know, on Thursday I was thinking, the Shiva came up to Shemayim, and I have a feeling that there he was greeted with the following words without an iota of sarcasm. That he was greeted with the words, Hinei bal hachalomus halozebo. Here comes the dreamer. Here comes the battler for Klal Yisrael, the battler for Kiddush Hashem. And I have no doubt that they are taking him and saying, Yisrael Noach, Moran, Harav, Hagadol, Rashiva, Rabbi Yisrael Noach, come together. Let's come together. V'nira mayich halomaisav. Let's go see. Let's go. Go see how your dreams are going to be fulfilled. Let's go see how your Talmidim from 35 years ago, and your Talmidim here in the Beis Medrash today, what they're going to do to do their part to help bring about the time when will be Bila Hamavis LaNetzach, where we will know death no more, where it will be Umach Hashem Dimim Me'al Kol Panim, there will be no tears anymore. When we will come to a time when we walk in at the back, and this time the gates will be permanently unlocked for us to rush upstairs to get that hug and to be once again with our Rosh Yeshiva. May you only hear know of simchas from here on in. May the next time I come back to Yerushalayim, it should be to participate in Simchas and to see how the Rosh Yeshiva is taking Nachas in all of us.
She would like to ask for Moshe Zeldman to say a couple of million to speed up.
To know where to begin. The thousand emotions I've had in the last few days since the Rosh Hashiva's, since the news first hit me. Jealousy over his Olam Haba. Regret that I didn't spend more time with him. Just a gaping, like the rug's been pulled out from under my feet. I don't know if there's a way to describe feeling. You can have a Rebbe. Rebbe teaches you Torah. But to have somebody who mamash gave you your life, without him, I don't know where I'd be. I mamash don't know where I'd be. I wouldn't be here. It's more than a Rebbe. Somebody gives you your Olam Haba. And then to be carrying his goof in your hands, putting him in the ground. Shock, just shock. But one emotion that I know that kept coming back to me, it still keeps coming back to me, haunting me, literally every couple of hours, middle of the night, middle of the morning, middle of the day, is a fear. It's a real fear. I say to myself, how can I go on? How can I go on without him? Every time I had a Shaila, every time I had a problem in life personally, he's available, he's there, he has like the most unbelievable insight. He knows me. He understands me. He knows exactly what I need to hear. Not just me, my family, raising my kids. And a whole yeshiva going on without him. Never mind a yeshiva, a whole movement that he began, that we're all kind of getting it and kind of grasping it and wanting to continue with it, but what's going to be? And if that's true for Eishes Torah, what's going to be with Klal Yisrael? If it's true for Klal Yisrael, what's going to be with the world? The number of times I can remember the Rosh Hashiva standing here. Remember the Rosh Hashiva standing here, just crying. Crying over Klal Yisrael. Crying over just Jews lost. Crying over the world. Violence and drug abuse and just the world's problems on his shoulders and feeling it and us feeling it from him. To think that we can feel it without him. That I can go a couple months without him giving me a pinch or a slap or at least a hug. Just a reminder, like, don't forget. Don't forget what you're here for. Don't forget what you have to accomplish. Don't forget the job needs to get done. I remember the first time I met the Rosh Hashiva. I was working at Aish in Toronto with Rav Aaron and Rav Shalom. And I'd already been working there, I think, for a few months. I was in my Shana Rishona. And I was teaching over some of his ideas. I had heard tapes and classes, and I had read things. And he was coming to Toronto to visit. He was doing some fundraising, so I was very excited. I finally get to meet the Rosh Hashiva after all these months of tremendous anticipation. So I booked a meeting. I remember mamash like it was yesterday. I remember the room. I remember it very well. And I was very nervous. I really wanted to just go and spend a few minutes hanging out with him, but you can't just go and schmooze. I had to have something to ask him, something to talk about. So I came with a question. I said, Rosh Shiva, I've been working at Aish now for a couple of months, for a few months, and it's Shana Rishona, and I just got married a few months ago, and it's so hard to juggle everything, and I got to spend time with my wife, and I'm just getting married, and I got all these Talmidim now, and all these programs on campuses, and I'm trying to organize seminars, and I'm trying to keep up with my own learning, and you know, it's so hard. There's so much to do and so much to juggle, and how do you balance it all? How do you do it all without going crazy? So he takes a look at me, and he says, Moshe, if you're not enjoying it, you're in the wrong business. You're not besimcha over everything you're doing. You don't understand the opportunity Hashem gave you to just be so involved in taking care of his children. You don't love every minute of it? What are you doing it for? What are you doing it for? And it was such a slap in the face. Here I am, doing God a big favor. I'll be the slave, and I'll suffer for God, and I'll do the job because the job's not going to get done without me, and it's all up to me, and ego, 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 ego. It hit me. Like, this is, you know, never mind this is a man with gadlus who taught me so much about life just from everything I've read and everything I've seen, but this is a man I need to have in my life. This is a man who really understands. He understands me. He understands what I need. And then as I got to know the Rosh Shiva better, I moved here to Eretz Yisrael, and I came to the Kollel here, and I spent time with him on projects. I just saw just the unbelievable Mesiras Nefesh, unbelievable self-sacrifice. But with every time I saw him push himself and go out on another trip, and he hadn't seen his family in weeks, and go on another trip, and another trip, and another trip, and have doors slammed in his face, and have people make fun of him, and have people turn him down, and have people make pledges and then don't deliver, and then he can't pay the budget by the end of the month, and he's panicking, and the weight of the world on his shoulders. And he did it all with tremendous simcha. I just didn't get it. How do you carry that kind of a load and do it all with simcha? I just didn't understand it. Then I had an experience. At that point, I was already working for a little bit, getting involved with some of the programs here at Aish Teaching. So I remember one time I had to call the Rosh Shiva. I had to call Aish New York. It was a Sunday afternoon. I had to call Aish New York. And I had to speak to, I think, Rabbi Cooper Smith or Rabbi Solomon, whatever it was. So I called Aish New York. I think it was about 8:30 in the morning over there. So he answered the phone. Hello. I say, hi, is Rabbi Cooper Smith there? No, he's not here yet. Is Rabbi Solomon there? No, he's not here yet. And I listen. I say, Rosh Shiva, is that you? He says, yeah, who's this? It's Moshe Zeldman. Mashallah, how you doing? I said, Rosh Shiva, why are you answering the phones at Aish New York on a Sunday morning? Because there are a bunch of bums and they haven't showed up yet. Rosh Shiva's answering the phones at Aish New York on a Sunday morning, taking messages? This is the Rosh Yeshiva. What's going on? And I realized the yesod was he just had such unbelievable anava. Job's got to get done. You have to answer a phone. You answer a phone. You have to make it a point. You have to have a door slammed in your face. You have a door slammed in your face. It doesn't matter. You're doing the Rabbanu Shalom's work anyway. You're taking care of the world the way Hashem wants you to take care of it. You're just doing your job. And if you're not doing it besimcha, it means you forgot that point. You forgot the point that you're really just doing what Hashem wants to get done. He'll get it done whether you're doing it or not. He's just giving you the opportunity. When I got back from the Levaya on Thursday, I was at a loss. I was still very much in shock. And I wanted to hear what the Rosh Shiva said on the Parsha. Parsha's B'Shalach, he just passed away. Erev of Parsha's B'Shalach. So I looked at my old notes, he said an idea on the parsha that I think is so matim, so fitting for who he was, that he passed away with this message, really, of the parsha. You have Klal Yisrael coming out of Mitzrayim. You have Kriyas Yamsuf. We come through the Yam. We're experiencing unbelievable miracles like we've never seen before. We come out on the other side. We see the Egyptians drowned. Singing songs, Shira, Nevuah, like we've never had. Singing songs, unbelievable clarity that Hashem loves us and Hashem's taking care of us. And then Klal Yisrael goes 3 days in the desert without water. So the pasuk says, "Vayolonu." They complained to Moshe. Manishta. What are you going to drink? 3 days. So Rosh Shiva says, I think it's a pretty reasonable request. You go 3 days in the desert without water. It's pretty reasonable to say, what are we going to drink? Rosh Shiva points out that the pasuk doesn't just say they asked, what are we going to drink? The pasuk says, Vayilonu. They complained. That somehow the parsha is pointing out something wrong with their request for water. Okay, it's not so clear what it is exactly. Then Hashem responds and he gives them mitzvahs, he gives them Torah. Then they come to this beautiful scene. They have the dates and they have the trees and they have the 12 wells. And Hashem gives them a big masiba. Hashem gives them this beautiful feast and everything is taken care of and they're happy again. Everything is good. Then they go from there to Midbar Sin. They move on. And now there's no food. What are we going to eat? We're complaining about the food now. But Yisloninu, they're complaining. Again, Rosh Shiva says, it sounds like a reasonable request. You go a few days in the desert without food and you're starving. It's a reasonable request. Like, Moshe, what are we going to eat? So at that point, Rosh Shiva says, Moshe points out to them what the real problem is. Pasuk says, V'yomra Moshe, 1 second, Moshe says, V'nachnu ma lo aleinu tlunoseichem ki al Hashem. Moshe, really speaking on behalf of him and Aaron, say, what are we? What are you complaining to us for? Lo aleinu tlunoseichem. You're not complaining against us. You're complaining against Hashem. So Rosh Shiva said, what's the real message here? The message is that Klal Yisrael's mistake was when they go into the desert for 3 days and they don't have water, they turn to Moshe. Say, Moshe, what did you get us into? You got us into this. Get us out of it. Where's the water? You're supposed to be taking care of us. A few days later, they don't have any food. They come to Moshe again. Moshe, come on, take care of us. Where's the food? Moshe Rabbeinu says, if you came into the desert because you think I brought you into the desert, you're making a big mistake. You're here because Hashem brought you here. You have a complaint, complain to Hashem. And what does it mean to complain to Hashem? You don't complain to Hashem. When you realize it's Hashem, you stop complaining. Instead of pointing the finger at Hashem, instead of pointing the finger at Moshe Rabbeinu, you point the finger at yourself. What's Hashem telling me? What did Hashem put me in the situation for? He brought me into the desert? He doesn't want me to starve to death. There must be something we're doing wrong. We must have to do some sort of a tshuva. But the Rosh Yeshiva says the real point here isn't that. The real point is, instead of them really taking responsibility for what they had to do, they put it all onto Moshe. So the Rosh Yeshiva asked, and it was so haunting to just read the notes that I wrote from years ago when he said this over. He says, are you guys here because of me, or are you here because of Hashem? And my fear, like I said at the beginning, my fear is, now's the test. The Rosh Yeshiva is a great salesman. He's very charming. He's very convincing. He's got a lot of clarity. And it's very easy for us to sort of take in that clarity and that inspiration and say, yeah, rah, 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 let's go. Let's go, Rav Noach. As long as you're leading the way, I'm one step behind you. He's not here anymore. So what happens now? Now is the moment we have to ask ourselves, do we really get it? Do we really, really get it? Was this just inspiration? Do we have the kind of clarity that the Rosh Yeshiva had, that Klal Yisrael is in deep, deep, deep trouble? Physically, spiritually, do we really get it? Only now will we know. There's nobody to point the fingers at. We have to ask ourselves now, do I really, really get that I'm responsible? The Rosh Yeshiva, for all the times he points his fingers at us, to realize every one of us right now is in the crosshairs. Do I really get it? Am I willing to really take a stand the way the Rosh Yeshiva did and really be Moser Nefesh and really stand up and do the job that's got to get done? One of the things I saw from the Rosh Yeshiva that drives him is when you really look at what Aish does, what the Rosh Yeshiva has done over the years, when you look from the outside, it's very confusing. You look and you say, it's a kiruv organization. There's Jews who are assimilating. There's Jews who are intermarrying. We have to get the Jewish people back on the path. Sounds very straightforward. And then he starts this thing called Hasbara fellowships, right? The issue is not assimilation right now. The issue on campus is Jews who are so disgusted by their Judaism because they don't know how to defend themselves against the Arabs. That's the fight we got to fight. Hasbara fellowships. Israel propaganda. Teach people about how to fight against the Arabs. Give people the tools, give them the tactics, get the government to fund us so we can do programs and really support Israel on campuses. That's the issue we got to fight for. And then he opens up a Hezder program next door, because we also have to get Israelis in the army, because the army is important, and having a spiritual influence on the army is important, and it's important for Israeli soldiers to know what they're fighting for. That's also part of it. And then you see the Rosh Yeshiva, every time he meets a yeshiva guy, he'll grill him. Do you know your Sheish Mitzvos Tamidios? For those of you who had the skus to ever see the Rosh Yeshiva drunk on Purim, meeting a yeshiva guy, any guy who looked yeshiva, so the black hat and the black coat, he would jump on the guy and just grill him. You don't know Sheish Mitzvos Tamidios? You're learning Torah all day, you don't even know what Yerushalayim is? You don't even know how to be Mekayim Ahavas Hashem? And he would just bang it into the guy again and again and again. Physically, more than anything else. Just bang it into the guy. Say it again. Let me hear it again. What's the fifth mitzvah? What's the sixth mitzvah? Rosh Yeshiva put money into taking Sidurim, the Hebrew Sidurim, and making sure all the Sidurim that go around the world have published in them, in the front, inside cover, the six constant mitzvahs. Every Jew in the world should know. It's not an issue of Kiruv. It's not because of Jews assimilating on campus. It's Klal Yisrael. Jewish people don't know what they... People are davening and people are learning. They don't even know Sheish Mitzvahs. Tamidios. You don't know you have a constant obligation to love Hashem and to be thinking about Hashem all the time. Every Jew in the world has to know that. Then the Rosh Yeshiva goes and starts Project Chazon in New York because there's kids going off the derech, and that's also part of our responsibility, no less than anything else's. Then, of course, there's radical Islam. We're in trouble. Nobody's taking care of it. Somebody's got to get the job done. So it'll have to be Yesh HaTorah, because if it's not us, it ain't going to happen. There's a madman in Iran, and he means business. And we had this 60 years ago. We didn't take it seriously then. Look what happened, and we got to take responsibility now. Well, what does that have to do with Kiruv? It doesn't. What it has to do with is just really caring about Klal Yisrael. And caring about Klal Yisrael could be frum or not frum, and caring about Klal Yisrael could be physical problems or spiritual problems. I just heard last night one of the guys mentioned that the Rosh Yeshiva really in the last few days was worried because he had heard that there's a big problem in Yerushalayim that people can't find, frum couples, young couples, can't find places to live in Yerushalayim because the apartments are too expensive. See, this idea, we'll raise money and we'll get landlords to give subsidies. And why? Because Jews should be able to live in Yerushalayim. That's also part of our agenda. Klal Yisrael, whatever Klal Yisrael needs, that's what we're here for. The purpose of the Jewish people is to bring light into the world, and whatever we need to do to get that done, that's our job. And as much as we can talk about the Rosh Yeshiva's huge vision for Tikkun Olam and for Klal Yisrael and for Ahavas Yisrael, at the same time, it always boiled down to every single individual. I think for anybody who ever walked into the Rosh Yeshiva's office and had 5 minutes with him, you mamish felt when you were with him, you're the only guy in the world. You're the only guy in the world. He wants to know about you. He cares about you. He wants to bounce ideas off you. He wants to hear what you think. He wants to get you to hear something. He really cared about every yachid. I remember the day that there was a whole tug of war. I'd been here for a couple of years in the Kollel, and some of the guys wanted me to start working, and a couple of the Rebbeim wanted me to stay and learning, and it was all back and forth. So I finally went to the Rosh Yeshiva, and I told him, I said, I decided I'm going to start working. I'm going to start working, get involved with Discovery. He jumped up from his desk, he ran over to me, gave me the biggest hug in the world. I thought, like, what's the big deal? I'm just another guy working for Yesh HaTorah. Like, there's dozens of us, so what's another guy? What's the big deal? It's just another guy in the payroll. He gave me the biggest hug, and I mamish felt like I'm the most special guy in the world right now. And that's what he was telling me. I really got it. A couple years later, he came to me and he says, you got to memorize Tarig Mitzvahs. You have to know 613 Mitzvahs Ba'al Peh. So I sat night after night after night, and I learned it, and I learned it, and I learned it. And Baruch Hashem, after I don't know how long it was, I memorized Tarig Mitzvahs. I went to the Rosh Yeshiva. I was very excited. I said, Rosh Yeshiva, I memorized all Tarig Mitzvahs. He says, let me hear them right now. I said, okay. I was very excited. I went through, did the whole thing. It was fantastic. I was waiting for my hug. He says, I'm going to ask you again in a month. Then you get your hug. So I came back a month later and knocked on the door. He says, Rosh Yeshiva, I can do it now in 18 minutes. Okay, I had it down. I was remember doing Chazar every day. I can do it in 18 minutes. You ready? He says, let me hear it. He gave it over in 18 minutes, gave me a tremendous hug. 6 months later, he comes into the Beis Medrash one day. He grabs me by the arm. He says, Moshe, I need some hana. I need to get a little pleasure. Let me hear you do it again. I said, I thought I already passed the test. I got my hug. I got to number 30-something. I started slipping. Gave me like a slap on the back. He says, you're a balgaiva. You're so arrogant. So first of all, half the Beis Medrash is looking at me. They're worshiping. What do you mean I'm so arrogant? Why do you memorize Tariq mitzvahs? Well, it's important to know. Like you said, every Jew should know Tariq mitzvahs. He says, Moshe, if you really believed you should know it, you wouldn't forget it once you passed the test. You know why you were learning Tariq mitzvahs? Because you wanted to prove to yourself that you could learn Tariq mitzvahs. That's not Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah is Hashem wants you to know Tariq mitzvahs for the rest of your life. I can still feel a back pain. Why would he take his time to make sure I know Tariq mitzvahs? Because he cared about every yid that he met. So the question we have to come back to is really just that question. On a personal level, on a klal level, do we really get it? Are we going to be able to get it without him around prodding us and poking us and pinching us and slapping us and hugging us and inspiring us? Can we do it on our own? I'll end by saying the second last meeting I had with the Rosh Yeshiva, I saw him in the hospital. I went to visit him. He was, I think, with one of his sons. It was late one evening. And just as I got there, the nurse had to change his sheets. And they had terrible bed sores. I remember the nurse said, you know, you better wait outside while I change the sheets. It's going to take about 5 minutes. I remember standing outside the room and just hearing the screams. Mamash, the screams. He was screaming in tremendous pain. It was his skin was sticking to the bed. It was horrible. I couldn't take it. 5 minutes later, door opens. The nurse says, you can go in now. I had to compose myself. I came in. He was all smiles. I said, Rosh Yeshiva, are you okay? Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. Ivdu es Hashem besimcha. If we can take what he gave us, for every time he touched us and for every time he inspired us, and realize we have an unbelievable, daunting, scary job ahead of us. Everyone, every single one of us, whether you've been here a day or you've been here 20 years, every one of us has a responsibility. And it's daunting and it's scary. And I'm saying on a personal level, I'm scared to really step up to that bat. But I also know that if I just hang on to that one message of the Rosh Yeshiva, Hashem loves you like a father loves a son. He's only giving you the opportunity because he wants to give you that joy and the pleasure, the opportunity to be involved in doing the most powerful, meaningful, deeply fulfilling thing you could possibly do in life. And if you can hold on to that and feel the simcha of that opportunity, and we can really be machazik each other with that simcha, we'll be able to take the Rosh Yeshiva's godless in our own way, really continue on with it and get the job done that the Rosh Yeshiva from Shemayim is waiting for us to get done. Mm-hmm.